There you go, Denise Chyla, on Shaw. On Shaw. Raymond Darcy, on Shaw. PJ Gallagher.
How are you?
You're supposed to say on Shaw, PJ.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon, on Shaw. On Shaw, here I am, here I am.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah, I'm not too bad. Yeah, it's turning into a nice, decent day, so I'm not too bad at all.
Yeah, yeah, the sun is shining, the sky is blue, all that. The big DIY challenge is back on the telly tonight.
It is, yeah.
People all up and down the country try their hand at DIY projects, and you sort of go around. Well, you don't actually now, do you? You can't go around anymore.
Well, you know, I went around a little bit, but like, let's face it, it's you know, I can't get involved, which is probably for probably better to people, to be honest, because I'm so useless, to be honest with you. So I still went around a little bit and saw a few of the projects as I could, but I mean, it was, compared to the first series, it's so different, because, you know, like, people, there's the 2 meters thing for a start, and then you can't go into anyone's house, and because TV makers get so paranoid that 2 meters might look smaller, it's actually really 4 meters. So you're kind of shouting at someone over the wall sometimes to keep the space. But yeah. But we got there, and it was actually a lot of fun to make it.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun to watch as well. And I know you don't like watching yourself on telly, but I watched the first episode that goes out tonight, this morning. And it's great crack. You know, it must be that the people who involve themselves in DIY, they're a certain personality type, I think.
They really are, yeah. And I think there's a lot of people got involved in it, like, over lockdown, that never threw their hat at anything like that before in their lives. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, remember when one very famous hardware shop opened up in the middle of lockdown, and it looked like sort of an aerial vision of a Swiss roll, like the queue went around the entire building about 6 times. Yeah. So we got so many people wanting to have a go that genuinely never really did any big projects before, and they learned entirely off YouTube and just kind of had a go, which is kind of brave enough, because they never would have done it before, and then they decided, I'm going to do it on TV and I'm going to try and win a few quid as well. So fair play to them, and they really sort of got into the spirit of what it is, which is a fun show, you know?
Yeah. And there was a time not too long ago, 15, 20 years ago, when DIY was monopolised by men, but there are more and more women trying their hand at it.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, it's totally different. And I guess it's great for the creativity of it too. I suppose traditionally a DIY show might have been just a bunch of lads building a shed or, you know, showing you or doing up a new kitchen or making a really big, you know, toilet for themselves or something. I don't really know. But this is totally different. And like, we'd loads of women throwing themselves into it and making, like, there's a lot of chicken houses. I don't really know what's going on in the pandemic in Ireland and chicken houses, but there's chickens living better lives than anyone at the moment.
Yeah. And there's a cat as well. There's a cat hotel tonight. There's a skate board ramp. There's a renovated speed boat. There's a camping pod. Also, like, the variety is amazing.
Bee houses in the shapes of Russian chateaus. Like, I mean, mad stuff.
Yeah. So, and it's done in a sort of a tongue in cheek way, which suits your personality as well. The whole thing, the music, the little bits of graphics on it, all of that, it all works really well.
Like, I mean, a lot of the shows, they're really good shows before that have been made, like, about DIY. But like, a guy called Dermot turns up to your house and you do a garden or you do your house, and a very famous, you know, expert called Dermot, he shows up and he and you do this big job, and maybe it goes over budget or whatever and it takes years. But this is 10 days. This is literally, this is an in and out, have a go hero TV show. And that's what I love about it.
And there's a 10 grand prize as well, so that's a substantial amount of money. So I'm just looking at the best small project, best inside project, best outdoor project, best upcycling project, and then there's a viewers choice award as well, which people can vote on at rte.ie, and there's expert advice there from Jennifer Byrne and Jimmy Engelzos. Jimmy Engelzos. He's the Ron.
Which
CEO
sounds man. Like a singer, doesn't he? Yeah, it sounds more like he's going to release a new chart hit than give you advice on DIY.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, like, they're brilliant. The judges are deadly and all, but every episode I've seen so far when I'm doing the voiceovers is just them slagging my work more than anything else. So
how are you? Have you changed radio station, did I hear?
I am, yeah. I'm over on, yeah. Well, we swapped over to Radio Nova now. Myself and Jim McCabe are there now.
Right.
So we had a big change during the pandemic, I suppose. I suppose I was very lucky, you know, that I was able to get up and go to work every single day. That was a huge thing for me, because so many people I was doing gigs with are still completely out of work. And I don't know when that's coming back for them. So I suppose when you see that and you're in, you know, you're talking to people who were touring and had a really good career only a matter of months ago, or well, it's a year ago now. You forget how time is passing, but their career just exploded, and their debts are still there. You know, there's still mortgage payments and car payments, but they worked in the entertainment industry and they did gigs, and it's gone. And there's still no real crack of light for when we can have full rooms again. Like, it makes you very grateful for what you have, you know.
Yeah, and like what you do on the radio is a performance as well. Like, it's not gag a minute, but you know, you have to be funny.
Well, that's, yeah, I guess I do, yeah. I suppose that's the job. But, yeah, I suppose it's kind of just telling people that it's okay to get up in the morning, though. Yeah. And that's, I suppose, when that's the attitude of it, it comes a little bit easier. And in fairness, I mean, it's, you're going into work to have fun with your friend.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you know, I'm going into a person who cheers me up naturally every day, you know. So it's not like a dread goal. Like, myself and Jim, we are really good mates. Like, we text each other all the time about football. We're into the same teams. We've the same interests. So it's hard to, like, it's not like you dread going into work. So it's a good environment to go in and have fun in.
Mm. So did you get involved in any of the online Zoom type gigs?
No, definitely not. No, I can't. I haven't the head for it. Honest to God, like, I barely have the head for a live stand-up with an audience in the room. So doing Zoom gigs for me just feels completely out of reach. I can't. It just feels like, I don't know, telling a joke, hearing no laughter, and maybe watching people turn their screens off and watching people go to the toilet. I can't do it. I can't. My confidence wouldn't be able to take it. I'd go insane. So I leave it. Like, there's a lot of really young, good comedians coming through at the moment who are great, making great video content. Yes. I'm not one of them. So I like
it. But that being said, though, like, Naked Camera, like, you were brilliant on that. I'm very visual and it was sketch-based. You would think that you would be perfect for,
I guess,
the new world.
I don't know. It was very interactive. I mean, Naked Camera, the big character, the very funny character in the show was Ireland.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
You know, and we made that mistake. When we went off to America, we learned fairly quick that when you take Ireland out of it, it doesn't really work the same way. So I guess I need to have that interaction to make something really, really work. And when I see, like, when I look at some of the videos that the young comedians are making, and it's just them sitting in their house on their own coming out with ideas, that to me is, that's insanely brilliant. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah. I didn't intend to talk about Naked Camera, but it's due a revival, isn't it?
Do you think?
I think so, yeah. And you know what? The technology's come on in leaps and bounds since you did it. You know, you'd find that it'd be easier to do a hidden camera show.
It would probably be easier to. Well, I don't know, actually, would it? Because everybody presumes they're being filmed now. When we did it in 2004, nobody ever assumed they'd be on camera. And that's kind of how it worked. No matter what you said to someone or how weird the situation got, there was no one ever assumed they were being filmed or something weird was happening. And now every time you open your phone, you see Instagram and somebody's doing some stupid prank on somebody else.
There's a lot of it on TikTok, isn't there? There's a lot of that sort of stuff on TikTok.
No, I can't get into TikTok. Getting into TikTok feels like getting into cartoons now in my 40s. I just feel like I'm way out of that loop. I just feel like I'm not wanted there. I feel like the creepy lad with a leather jacket walking around the pub, to be honest, when I go on TikTok. I don't feel welcome there at all.
So what are you doing to keep yourself sharp, you know, when it comes to gigs? Because they will come back eventually. It'll probably be the last thing back, first thing to stop and last thing back. But do you keep yourself? Do you stand in front of the mirror at home with a hairbrush in your hand?
Honestly, I don't. I guess this was a big realization for me. I've always worried that if gigs stopped, what would I do? And I think, to be honest, I don't really want to go back to gigs.
Not
really. I mean, I always could feel tortured when I do gigs. I always felt so tortured getting on stage, the anxieties of it. I only ever really did gigs and did stand-up because I wanted to feel good at something. I didn't really care what that was. And then stand-up kind of came along and I felt
you
like I was good at it.
Yeah.
And now it kind of feels like I've ticked the box and now it's nothing left in it but the anxiety and the stage fright. And like when I'm doing radio's where I want to be, it's very hard to talk myself back onto the stage again. So I guess one thing I've learned in the pandemic is if you can stay where you are, like, you ask yourself how much is enough, and to be honest, at the moment it's enough. I don't really plan on going back on stage unless I really have to. I probably will have to because I have to pay bills, but I'll be delaying it for as long as possible.
That's interesting, because you spoke about your stage fright in that documentary. That could be 10 years old now, PJ, is it?
Oh, it's probably 2008 or 2009. Yeah, probably is around that. I'd say you're probably about right. Yeah.
And of course, then we saw you in Young Offenders and other things. So the acting, and that was, I remember talking to you about that. That was the one thing you wanted to do. Like the acting came before the stand up, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because you're with other people. You're not just sitting on. You like, I think I said it to you before. Being a stand up's a bit like being a. When I was a courier, it's just I deliver jokes instead of parcels. Like most of the job is driving. And then when you get to, when you deliver your jokes no one, and you talk to someone, no one's allowed to talk back. So it's an unusual existence, you know. Whereas, you know, everything else, like acting and it's much more interactive.
No, I'm fascinated by this, because when I've spoken to loads of comedians over the years and they talk about, you know, the laugh, and it's nearly drug-like that you get addicted to it. But you're not.
No. I think I just spent a lot of time knocking on the door saying, please notice me, please tell me I'm alive. And then they did, and then I kind of went, thanks a million, that's enough. I don't know. It's a dysfunctional way to live your life, to be honest, isn't it? Standing up on stage and asking people to like you, it's a very strange way to behave.
It's a bit needy when you put it like that.
Yeah, it's really needy. It's a really needy, strange thing to do. And maybe I'm getting more mentally healthy and I feel like I don't need it anymore.
Oh, that's brilliant. We'll continue this conversation at a future date. The big DIY challenge is back tonight on your televisions, RT1 8:30, fronted by the great PJ Gallagher. Okay, brilliant. Mind yourself, PJ.
Thanks a million. It's always like therapy with you, Ray. Thank you.
See you. Bye. That's PJ there. Right, Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock with that interview, hopefully, with Paul Weller. Whatever you're doing, do it safely and enjoy it.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.